find that connection, you know. Mm-hmm. For me, the simple thing that I do when I don't have tobacco, what's helped me was like I just take my hand, you know, my left hand, and I put it on a tree, and I say, "Ho matako," I say, or all my relations. I'm making a conscious decision to recognize my connection with this tree, this life force. You know, there's energy there, you know, and our oneness. You know, and that helps me so much. You know, that helps keeps me grounded. You know, if I don't have tobacco, I don't smoke. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I do put tobacco down all the time. I'm always, wherever I go, I'm putting tobacco down, especially if it's a sacred site or someplace I know that's there's a lot of energy and power there. I just, that recognition, to me, goes a long way to me recognizing my our place and those little, that life force that's there.
Yeah. For sure. All right, Travis, thank you so much, Pidamaya, for all of your energy and the love that you give with to the community and everything that you do.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and on the web at kfai.org.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallusa Nation.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, penny cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. It's always my pleasure to have Arvina Martin, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin, on, and we always have a nice, robust conversation. And in the second segment, I'm going to be giving away Minnesota State Fair tickets too. So everyone be aware and get ready for your call. I think it's 952-946-6205. I think I used to know that. I'll have to look it up. Or send us a smoke signal here on Facebook Live or YouTube or Blue Sky, and we'll get you those tickets. But Arvina, thank you so much for coming on. Always great to see you. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Arvina, one of the things I want to talk about real quick is that I understand Milwaukee got unbelievable amounts of rain. What I saw was 15 inches. Is that right? I mean, are the fairs over and everything?
Yes. The whole Milwaukee and kind of the surrounding suburban areas have been hit really hard with flooding. I I don't know all of the totals, but I know that the ultimate totals were in the double digits of, in terms of inches of rain that they got. And the scenes I saw were reminiscent to me of the floods we had here in Madison in 2018. And it was absolutely devastating. And now we have Governor Tony Evers is activating Wisconsin's National Guard to go help help folks that are, have been, you know, experiencing flooding in their homes and businesses. I know that there have been, you know, things that it was a the concert venue Alpine Valley was affected. I know that they continued to play or still had a Brewers game held, despite the fact that the parking lot was flooded. The field was fine, but you know, as I was on city council in Madison during the floods of 2018, and my district was very affected by flash flooding. So Madison had been affected in two ways by the flash flooding immediately after the storm, but then with our higher lake levels, you know, that there was a more long-term flooding issue that affected our downtown Isthmus area. And I worry about that experience for folks in Milwaukee and the surrounding areas, you know, dealing with the initial flooding and then potentially having longer effects due to river levels rising, et cetera. You know, we're getting 1,000-year floods way more often, unfortunately. And Milwaukee this time is the one that has been hit.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up too, Arvina, is just the fact that these 1,000-year cycles, and you know, the way things are going right now, I'm wondering, you know, without being a negative Nancy, are we getting close? Are we past the threshold of no return when it comes to climate change and those things that really matter to us here on Native Roots Radio and as a progressive station and as a Indigenous person?
I mean, I think we're getting close, which is, it's scary. You know, I can think of changes in my lifetime, you know, that generalities and knowing that is not the same as data, you know, it makes somebody or it makes one want to go look for that data because your experience is changing. I remember, I mean, in terms of climate change, very consistently going out to trick or treat with as a kid in a costume that, you know, you needed to like fit over a snowsuit.
Right.
And in my kid's lifetime, she's rarely needed a jacket to go trick or treating. And that, again, that's anecdotal, but we are seeing data from all reputable scientists showing that this change is happening. And it is, you know, very, very almost assuredly, if not assuredly, likely to because of human actions.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I wanted to bring up too, especially with what's happening with unemployment statistics and things like that, and the CDC being gutted. Are we ever going to really have any real numbers now in the next, I mean, forever? I mean, this is pretty mind-blowing right now what this one person can do to our government.
Absolutely. I mean, we are worried, you know, RFK Jr. has kicked off noted scientists who are experts in their fields on for various positions throughout, you know, the CDC, National Institutes of Health, you know, anybody that sees the data on vaccines and thinks that they're a good thing, you know, that's a knock on them in RFK Jr.'s book. And he's filling these positions with people that have theories that are not borne out by the science. And you're absolutely right. We do have to worry about things like, you know, recommendations as to, you know, which every year the U.S., I'm not sure which department it is, if it's the CDC or what, but they help create flu vaccines every year. And mm-hmm. they look and see what strains are likely to affect us here in the U.S. And then they make the vaccines based off of that. I mean, are we going to even have flu vaccines this year or going forward? I mean, it's a scary thought. I get my flu vaccine every year, you know, and I don't really want to go unprotected. Health is not the only field where this is happening. You know, Trump did not like the labor statistics that came out recently. So he fired the Bureau of Labor Services person because he didn't like the numbers. And instead of seeing why those numbers weren't what he wanted and changing what he was doing, he's changing the person who creates the list of all the numbers. And so next time he can, you know, pick and choose. I hear that the next pick for the BLS job is somebody who has been very hypercritical of previous BLS, you know, statistics and postings. You know, we are going to have to rely on outside sources to vet this information and figure out who we trust. You know, whether it is an outside organization that does work in that particular field, maybe it's journalistic outlets, but it's scary. I have friends who, you know, maybe are immunosuppressed who are very worried about the coming years for updated flu, pneumonia, and COVID vaccines.
Wow. Yeah. And I don't know, Arvina, I don't want to get negative, but I'm wondering how he gets so much done. And then when we had the Democrats that had the House, the Senate, and the presidency didn't seem to get things done. I mean, all his things that he's doing, I guess, is the difference is that everything he's doing is illegal.
And no one is calling him on it. I mean, it's
South Park it's is.
Yeah, South Park. Yes, the third estate.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we're here with Arvina Money, Arvina Martin. Hey, I wish it was Arvina Money. Oh,
right?
Wow.
Me too.
That's your rap name. Hey, we're going to be CEO of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're going to come right back and talk some more. Thank you so much for listening. This is Native Roots Radio.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
To those who left their communities by force or by choice and through generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find, to those that turn away the so-called non-accepted, to those that bring us together, and to those living outside, keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people, to those that give up and those who do not care, to those who abuse themselves and others, and those who revive again, to those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio, and we are with our friend and our Ho-Chunk relative here, Arvina Martin, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin, and we are just talking over a few things, politics. But before we get deep back into that, we got a couple of things we want to take care of, and one of them, of course, is the word of the day, and then I'm going to haphazardly try and give away two tickets to the Minnesota State Fair. So, Arvina, I just have one quick one for you. Humpy Jaina. Do you know what Humpy Jaina means?
I know Hump Day means today.
Yeah, nice day.
I don't know what Jaina means.
Well, I'm probably saying it wrong, but I'm giving it a shot. Jaina, I believe it means nice day.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So have a nice day.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So you have one, and I really love talking about, and it's great that you come up with a word of the day because you it pops into your mind and we go for it. So let's do the word of the day with Arvina Martin, and I just want to give the applause button here. always want to be able to use that. So go ahead, Arvina.
Yeah, so inspired by the end of the last segment, the Ho-Chunk word of the day is Jura,
yeah.
Which means money.
Yeah. Hey, what that also goes into the word. Do you know, my uncle always says this word, and it's for like a thrift store, Goodwill. He goes, hey, let's go to, do you know that one?
I think it's garage sale is waruhaha, or like kind of like a tag sale, yard sale kind of thing, I think.
I better call him. Because it's pretty fun because the way he uses it, I don't understand Ho-Chunk. I wasn't brought up with it. And I go, I knew exactly what he was saying. It's like, okay, we're going to Goodwill. Hey, so let's try this too before we get deep in conversation again. I want to just give away two tickets to the Minnesota State Fair. That's 952-946-6205. And, you know, the State Fair is coming up the 21st to August 21st, Thursday, and we'll be out at the State Fair doing a live show. And just give a call to the station here at 952-946-6205 and win some tickets here. You know, it's really interesting, Arvina, too, is when we were on an hour a week, once in a great, great, great while, we wouldn't have a guest. And we've tried to do call-ins, and you always have to get one person to call in order for other people to feel comfortable. And so you'd always kind of like going, oh, no, nobody's calling. Nobody's listening to the show.
Well,
you
have to trust that your viewers or your listeners are not going to come in and clown you. I saw an Instagram post of somebody calling into a C-SPAN store or show, and basically he went into the theme song of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and he got a little ways into it before they caught on what was happening and had to hang up on him.
Well, that's why for me, like, I don't want to do the third caller. It's just like begging for the first caller. And I think Brett or Patrick's back at the station and they'll text me. But, you know, win a pair of tickets, you know, the dates of the fair we just went over. And again, Native Roots Trading Post is out there. This will be our fifth year, and always great to see people. And then the first Thursday and Friday, I'll be live out there. I'll also manning the store with one of my daughters. I don't know which one, and my son-in-law, and we got grandbabies, and I'm sure they'll be working soon enough. But we'll let's go into this, and hopefully we'll bring it up again and see if anybody's calling in. And the winner will need to give the name and their phone number and their mailing address, and then they can mail out the tickets. But heck, you know, tickets aren't cheap anymore at the fair. They're $17 right now, and then as of the 20th they go up to, I believe, $20. And
wow.
It's an expensive date, so we're really pleased to be able to support the fair, and the fair is bought some time here on Native Roots Radio, so we can give away tickets too. So
nice.
hopefully this will work out in a good way. Tomorrow we have, and again, I got to say this to Arvina on the air, is I appreciate you coming on Tuesdays. I know you're a long Wednesday person, but we have Minneapolis Air tomorrow, our once a month direct show towards what's happening in Minneapolis and in Indian country with the city of Minneapolis. So we're blessed to talk and amplify what's happening good with the city of Minneapolis, even though I'm in St. Paul right now and a lot of times in New York.
But I mean, hey, great municipal program as far as I'm concerned. I'm happy to be bumped for that.
Oh yeah, I appreciate it, your flexibility. And then later on too, we're gonna have Ruth Anna Buffalo on in to check in. We haven't talked to her in a couple of weeks, and it's great to see what Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center is doing, and which they do a lot. They've been around for 40 some years, and they really helped the community in so many ways. Every time we talk to her, I'm pretty amazed on what they do here in the Minneapolis for the community. It's crazy. So, hey, let's jump back into this and pretend that we didn't give out the number 952-946-6205. Call and win some tickets. So I don't know. I mean, I hear so much because I do listen to radio and I do a lot of reading. But with this Washington takeover, LA said it's going to happen to you too, and it's happening to Washington, where, you know, crime's down 30%. The time that he should have brought the National Guard in was December 6th, or January 6th. And so the Republicans are running scared, I believe, because the things that are happening right now, I don't think anyone, even people that supported MAGA, are even for this, what's been happening the last 6 months. So I think they're running scared and they're trying to manipulate the election coming up.
I mean, I think that this is a something that knocks or checks off a lot of boxes for the Trump administration. First of all, I think they're doing it now, again, as a distraction to the Epstein files, you know, that's not going away. But it's also another test to see how the public is going to react to a federal takeover of a city that, you know, doesn't really, I mean, like you said, violent crime is down 30% in the city of Washington, D.C., you know, and he waited how long before the National Guard was even mentioned in conversation on January 6th. So I feel like it's pretty safe to say that any of his concerns regarding the safety of Washingtonians, or I'm not sure what you call a resident of the District of Columbia, but, you know, if he's trying to claim that this is about the safety of the city's residents or the city's infrastructure or anything, is, I mean, you can't believe it, because people were seriously injured. Some folks died on January 6th, and he just let it happen and encouraged it to happen. You know, and again, this is him testing the waters to see if he can keep going. You know, what will the Supreme Court say? Will they let him get away with it? They seem to be letting him get away with a whole heck of a lot, you know, and then we have to worry about this approach coming to other cities that whose leadership or policies he doesn't agree with, because you'll notice none of this effort happens to cities that are in red states. You know, This is all happening in, you know, Los Angeles, in Washington, D.C. I'm sure he has eyes on New York City, Chicago, San Francisco, you know, and any place. And it's a really scary prospect to think that the Supreme Court could let this one individual have so much power. And completely disregard all of the checks and balances that we have had, we've had instituted here in the United States for so long.
Yeah, I don't want to bounce around, Arvina, but But I heard something, you know, with our relatives from Texas that left, you know, so they didn't get gerrymandered. And, you know, Trump has already said that he wants five votes and that's how they're going to, or five seats. And that's how he's gerrymandering it. I heard that in it, the state's already gerrymandered because there's almost 9 million Democrats to 6 million Republicans. So registered. And so when I heard that statistic, I'm just going, wow.
I'm not completely familiar with all those numbers, but, you know, I believe that it would be gerrymandered and gerrymandered already. But now the president is asking for more and to push those lines. And it's unheard of in the middle of a decade. He's also calling for a new census, not realizing that the census process takes a decade long and billions of dollars to do.
Yeah, definitely.
A waste of money, a waste of time, and everything else.
Exactly. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin, and this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to take a quick break. This is, give us a call at 952-946-6205 to win the tickets. Hoa, Native Roots Radio.
Support for KFAI comes from the Dakota, presenting Javier Santiago and Room 3, Sunday, August 24th. Jazz pianist, composer, and producer Javier Santiago teams up with fusion combo Room 3 for this performance. Javier released his latest album, Warriors Energy, late last year, while Room 3 released Bill's Garden earlier this year. More information about Javier Santiago and Room 3 performing at the Dakota is available at dakotacooks.com.
I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with Arvina Martin, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're talking over things that are happening. And also, before I let you go, I want to make sure that we talk a little bit about Emerge. And I don't know. I feel really proud and part of Emerge, being a former legislator and knowing more about it, but also getting to know you over these past few years and the work you do. So I can't stop but talk about Emerge Wisconsin. It's really awesome. But before we get any further, Arvina, there's one person that's listening to the show for sure, and his name's John, and he's from Minnetonka, and he won the tickets. So
Yay! Let me
get the applause out there. Yeah. So, you know, I want to do it one more time. So if you guys, we have a set of two more tickets here at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205 to win some tickets for the Minnesota State Fair. And again, Native Roots Trading Post will be out there in the West End Market. Just look for the big windmill. We're right below that. And the interesting thing, I got to tell you this, Arvina, because I know you're going to be at the fair. I don't know how this happened, but 5 years ago, we were just grateful because sometimes it takes 20 years to get in the fair, you know, a long time. And we got in relatively quick after opening our store at Dayton's, and we're right next to what are they called, where they sell furs and bears and a taxiderm
hide people.
Yeah, and so we feel like it's cowboys and Indians out there because we wouldn't do that to our relatives, but we're right by the windmill, so come by and visit us. And so somebody call in 952-946-6205 and tell them how much you like Arvina and Native Roots Radio. Ho-wah!
Woohoo!
Cool. So, maybe we should jump into Emerge and talk about that so we have time, and then maybe go back and talk about a few more things, what's happening in Wisconsin, because I really like, you giving us a report on what's happening in our state. And we're on a civic media all over Wisconsin, too, so it's just a great fit for us here at Native Roots Radio.
Yeah. So we are really excited at Emerge Wisconsin. We are going to be graduating our class of 2025. And as I mentioned last week, we already have members of the class preparing runs. One that is announced, Amy Zimmerman from Brookfield, which is really exciting. And we are getting ready for 2026. We are hosting a series of training called Step Forwards. They are for people that are considering and thinking about running for office. We go over the things like your why you would want to run, what you would want to do. And we talk about things like choosing the right seat and how to, you know, choose the timing of what election to run in, as well as how to prepare yourself as a person and prepare your network for your run. And we'll be posting those on our social media, on our website. You can find us on Facebook and on Instagram. And our website is wi.emergeamerica.org. And we are going to be hosting these in collaboration with various groups, including Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, of the caucuses of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Blue Sky Waukesha, as well as some other organizations. And, you know, these are a really great way to see if running for office is going to be the right move for you. It's 1 hour long, and it will be free, and it will be all on Zoom. So, you know, I highly recommend anybody who is listening, you know, please check us out on one of these Step Forward trainings. You'll come out with some tangible things that you can do to prepare yourself for a race, but you'll also get a taste of what Emerge training is like and what it's about. And it's, you know, it's going to be a great time to, I mean, now is a great time to start thinking about 2026. And if you want to run for a local government seat in the spring, or if you want to run for something state level or higher in the fall, now's the time to think about it, and so you can be prepared and take on those Republicans who keep just throwing everything and acquiescing to whatever Trump says.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, this is working really well. I just want to change the subject real quick and give Joan a shout out. She just got two pairs of tickets, and Joan from Minneapolis. So, man, I don't know. Should we try and do this one more time? Let's do it one more time. 952-946-6205. Two pairs of the tickets. And remember to come out and see Native Roots training post out there, and get a Resist t-shirt, because we love selling those, and we love to resist. So give us a call again. And how exciting. People are listening. Ho-wa.
Yay. Yay.
Exactly. You know what I should try and do next Thursday, is next time we're going to give out tickets, is we have such a great following on StreamYard, which we send out to YouTube, we send out to Facebook and Blue Sky and a couple other places. Maybe we can get somebody win on there. I know a lot of people that listen to us on there are, you know, from out of state, but maybe it's worth coming to Minnesota to go to the state fair, Arvina.
Oh, yeah, bringing tourism to Minnesota. There you go.
Well, I kind of said that too, because you're going to be in the cities during the fair too, you get to see the state fair.
Yeah, I will be. I'm will be there as part of the August DNC meeting. And I believe that the chair, Ken Martin, you know, he's from Minnesota, and I believe that he is hosting a party for DNC members at the state fair, which I think is super fun. And I'm really excited.
Hopefully you'll get a chance. I don't know. Have you ever been out to Owamni, the restaurant Owamni?
I have, and it is delicious.
Yeah, I remember the first year they were open, they had those crickets too. We've had Sean Sherman on a bunch of times, and reminds me I should reach out again. They're really expanding what they're doing, and it's just great and a great location. And I'm glad you've been out there, because it is a place to go to when you're in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. Hey, one last thing. We just hit the jackpot. Leonard from St. Paul wins the third pair, and so that's all we're going to give away today. But hey, that was fun.
Yeah.
So, okay, Emerge. And again, one thing I want to talk about Emerge too is not only how people can find out about it, but how they can support you. And again, I feel like, I don't know, I feel a part of it because we talk about it a lot, but also, you know, just having you on all these past years.
Yeah, I mean, you can go to our website, wi.emergeamerica.org, and we have links there to donate. We love any financial support that someone can share with us. We appreciate it. We use our finances very, very wisely. There's, you know, we don't have a lot of overhead or anything like that. So, you know that your money is actually going to go to train very talented Democratic women and non-binary folks who are going to be, the stars of tomorrow, and are going to be helping us resist at legislative levels and executive levels, at government, from local on up to federal. And it's just, it's a really good way to donate to the resistance.
Yeah, well, good way to put it. Hey, one of the things too, I'd really love to ask you too, as like a civilian here, walking around in New York and here in the Twin Cities and in Wisconsin, I want to get a call to action. What can people do with the way things are happening now, where we're turning into a fascist state? We already are China, the way things look here, and I know, as a Native American, we've gone through this for 500 years, and it's not use. We're surprised, but we're not really surprised. What can we do as a person listening to the show, or me talking to you, Arvina?
Yeah, I mean, you can go donate to financially to organizations that do work in this whole mess of a situation. They could be political organizations, they could be the ACLU, it could be the NAACP. Helping fund the work that those organizations do. Also, Emerge Wisconsin, helping fund that work is really important. I would say at the moment, going to your congressional town hall meetings and making, especially if your congressional representative is Republican, go there and make sure they know that you are unhappy with the way that you are being represented in Congress, that their decisions are not in line with what, you know, they ran on. They are not a reflective of their constituency, and you can let them know. You can email your legislators at the local, county, state, school board, federal levels as well. And let make sure people know through those means. I mean, and you can get creative with it. You know, if you know somebody who is doing this kind of work, check in with them, make sure they're doing okay. Maybe bring them some fry bread or something, you know, bring them something to eat or something. You know, a lot of people doing this work were nervous and were anxious, and we wouldn't be doing anything else. But at the same time, it does take its toll. And really, that should be for anybody. You know, just reach out to the folks that you think need it. This is a very scary time. And we need to look after each other, because it's clear that nobody from the federal government will.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, check on your neighbor, your relative, and check on yourself and take care of your soul, too. I really appreciate that. I remember when I was young, this older person used to tell me that there's three lies. And one of them was and I won't say what the other two are, but one of them was, hi, I'm from the federal government and I'm here to help. And it's really come to a fruition here. And so I appreciate you and the work that you do, your boots on the ground. You have been for a long, long time. And I appreciate you coming on and sharing your experience, strength, and hope.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm, you know, already excited for my next time with you. All right.
And you got great words of the day, so I appreciate that. We'll keep it culturally relevant, too. Ho-wa.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you, Arena Martin, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wa.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are with our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we always like to check in and see how things are going. And it's really good to see you as always, Ruth Anna. And I appreciate you coming on and talking about the good work that you guys do over at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. Ho-wa.
Yes. Dosha, hello, and Matsugidads. Thanks for having us.
Right on. Hey, so what's new with you and what's new with Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center? I know you guys have so much going on, and I love to amplify what you guys are doing, and the work that you do for the community is just outstanding.
Yes, thank you. We are gearing up for our newly renovated 24 tenant units upstairs, floors 3 and 4. I was just up there today and they have running water, so it's just really exciting. By the end of this month, the month of August, we will have 6 tenant unit spaces occupied. So we are looking forward to having a lot more people in the building, 12 units per floor, and some renovations that are coming along with that too on the first and second floors as well. So pretty exciting.
That is exciting. And just what you guys do, the amplifying, not only cakewalks, but you do a lot of things for the community. And let's talk a little bit what's going on this week and coming up. If you have that in front of you, I really appreciate it. There's so many, and it's so diverse, too. There's so many different things, but it's all community-based, and it's all based on helping and supporting our Native community here in the Twin Cities. So I love amplifying what you're doing, Ruth Anna. And I've always liked having you on the air. I always joke around that one time when you were, yeah. I was interviewing you and you were getting on a plane. It was early morning. And then I interviewed you again for a second segment when you got off the plane. And we were both more wide awake than the first time when
right.
I listened. But yeah, we have some history. It's fun.
We have our weekly Tuesday Resource Connect, which was today. That was 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We have service providers on site to help get the client relatives connected to resources such as treatment, housing, and mental health and behavioral health services. We have a meal program, which is an expansion of the drop-in center, that is on Monday, Thursday, Fridays from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. We also are we're working to expand Tuesday Resource Connect to Monday, Thursday, Fridays as well, because it's been a really good centralized location to get people connected to resources. And so it was a request that came from client relatives of having more service providers on site, more than outside of Tuesday Resource Connect. We have a kids night out scheduled for August 27th. And then we have, MIWRC host the space for the Cedar Ceremony, which is held every first Thursday of the month in partnership with NAC. And we have various support groups. We have the caregiver support group that meets every second Monday of the month. Contact Leah LaChapelle or Antonia. They are our ICWA kinship care workers. And we also have a Native Survivor Support Group that meets every other Friday. And then we have a full-time doula that is busy out in the community assisting the relatives. We also have a traditional healing practitioner who is out in the field a lot as well, putting in a lot of miles throughout Minnesota. And so, yeah, we just have a lot going on, and we're super thankful for all of the support. If you get a chance, please feel free to donate at miwrc.org/donate.
Hey, how many people, I don't think I've ever asked you this, but how many people work at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center?
Gosh, I believe we have at least 22 right now. Wow. We also have Metro State interns, four interns, and then that will be with us until December. And then we also have WEX workers, you know, in partnership with Mille Lacs. It's a wonderful partnership. We provide like the work site, and then the WEX workers gain more job skills on the job training. And then we also have a partnership with NACOA for senior workers, and we are in the process of getting a few more NACOA workers as well as WEX workers. And so right now, I would say we have at least six WEX workers, and we'll have one NACOA worker, and then four Metro State students as well. So full house, but always open to more volunteers and more people who would like to help serve the community.
No, earlier you made a list of, you were saying a list of the things that you were doing, and it kind of perked my ear too. Can you talk a little bit more about the support with ICWA? And I know we've been fighting this for so long. And also, one of the weird statistics in the Twin Cities, and I believe Minneapolis, is that there's a lot of Native Americans that are in foster care right now that need our support. And can you talk a little bit about both those things?
Yes. So we have a very robust family services department, which is led by Mariah Smith. And she used to be a kindergarten pre-K teacher back in the day. And then started out as a case manager, and just really has a heart for children and families. And so we'll have to get her on here someday. She hasn't been on here yet. So, but definitely asset to the team here. The Family Services Department does a lot of outreach, does a lot of support care for our families. And so they do such critically important work that they help keep families together. They help support or they help with the reunification of families. Also providing like parenting life skills classes, home visits. Lacey is a certified health educator, and she does the family spirit home visiting. And so there's just a lot of good heart work, you know, the nurturing care that really shines through our staff. And so we have two ICWA kinship care workers, and they help provide support and services to family members who are taking care of their family members, whether it's like aunts, uncles, cousins, grandmas, grandpas, raising their grandchildren. And it's so important, you know, like within our family systems and structures to have that additional support. You know, like my tribal nation has clanship systems, and that's, you know, just kind of an additional support system of extended family. And so it's really good to have that support system in place, you know, because like we call our first cousins sisters and brothers, you know, so it's kind of that more. And then it's even more beautiful when you say it in our language too, because that has even more love attached with it. So
yeah, exactly. And that's amazing. And I mean, what, I guess next time we get together, I'm going to ask you what Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center doesn't do, because that might even be a shorter list. That's amazing. And you must be, and your crew and the people that work there, the 22 other people, just must be really happy to be able to serve the community and boots on the ground, because you literally are, whether it's 100 degrees out and you're bringing people in, or it's 100 below and you're bringing people in to help them. And it's a bad situation when you're homeless or you don't feel like, you know, anyone cares, and you can get deeper and deeper, but you guys are doing, you know, the creator's work. And I just love amplifying what you're doing.
Oh, Mads, a good odds. I'm thankful to be a part of such an amazing team and community, and we love the relatives, and, you know, we truly see one another as relatives, and that's, you know, our responsibility, and to be good relatives to each other. So,
well, I appreciate you and stopping in, but I really do. I think we should have a couple more people on and have a much, much longer segment with you. Maybe next week we can strategize something, because that would of what you guys do. But I appreciate you stopping in, Ruth Anna, and I appreciate Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center.
Lots of good ads.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
KFAI is proud to support Voice of Culture presenting the Mini House Picnic, Saturday, August 23rd, 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. in Loring Park, Minneapolis. The Mini House Picnic unites house music DJs and performers with lovers of the genre on the outdoor dance floor and picnic area for music, fellowship, and community. Attendees are welcome to pull up with blankets, coolers, grills, and shade tents. All the details about the Mini House Picnic on August 23rd in Loring Park are posted at voiceofculture.org.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. Our friend Sean Sherman on here. Sean, I'm so appreciative to have you on here. I know the schedule's tight, and really, really appreciate you being on. So as you can see, I'm pretty nervous here, and I appreciate it, but let me just read a little bit here. Chef Sean Sherman has dedicated his career to supporting and promoting indigenous food systems and native food sovereignty. Sean's cooking style is based on pre-colonial indigenous food systems, using only ingredients that are native to North America. So I've been to your restaurant many times, but there's a lot of other things happening with you. And I just got to say, too, a quick shout out to you. You were on one of my favorite shows, Finding Your Roots, and you just did a great job, and that was awesome to see you on there. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thanks for having me, Robert.
Hey, so there's a lot going on. I know you have a book coming out, people can pre-order that cookbook. You also have a book out, and there's things happening. You're opening up a new restaurant. Where do we start? You're such a busy person, and I don't know. I've heard you speak. I've heard and been to your restaurant, and I'm just amazed at the work that you've been doing, starting way back. And then I remember your food truck, and then your restaurant. It's just been really, really cool for me to watch peripherally what you've been doing in our community and all across Turtle Island.
Thanks. I mean, we do have a lot of stuff happening right now. We're really excited for the cookbook, which is called Turtle Island. And it explores all the indigenous diversity from Mexico through Alaska, erasing the colonial lines and just looking at all of our beautiful indigenous diversity. And I just got the first hard copy of that book in the mail yesterday. So it was really exciting to see it in physical form, because it was a lot of work. We did that with my friend and co-author Kate Nelson, and also another co-author that worked really hard on the book, Kristen Donnelly. And we had Jada Gray Eagle, who's a local photographer, doing some of the photography. And it's a really amazing, beautiful book. And so it's going to be really fun. It doesn't come out till November 11th. And so we have a little bit of time, but it'll beat the holidays. And it was a big project and a lot to fit in into a single book, but we did it and I'm really proud of it. And we're just kind of busy getting ready to launch The new building on Franklin. So we're just going to add another cool Native business to the Native American cultural corridor down there. So we bought the Seward Creamery Co-op on 26 in Franklin, and we're renaming it Waiute Tipi, which just basically translates to food lodge or food building. And then we're opening up a new restaurant there in the front called Shota, which some people might know as part of the word Minnesota, and it loosely refers to smoke, which is why it's going to be a barbecue-themed Native American restaurant. So we're going to be smoking a lot of meats. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think it's going to be a way different concept than Awamni is, but I think people will really enjoy it. And then we have a huge commercial kitchen there that we're going to be pumping out lots of healthy food for schools, hospitals, tribal communities. And that program is called Meals for Native Institutions. And then we're going to have some fun things coming up at Awamni that I can't talk about now, but just to get people to be aware of some really fun new projects that's going to come down with Awamni. And keeping your eyes open for some of those, because it's going to be kind of some big news when it comes out. We're excited for Farm Aid coming up and being able to represent and actually vend food there. So we're going to have a vending space serving healthy Native foods at the Farm Aid conference or concert, you know, when everybody's playing that day. And we're also getting ready to start moving all a bunch of what we've created here in Minnesota into the Montana region. So we're getting ready to launch portions of what we're doing in Bozeman, Montana, and we're getting ready to hire somebody out there too. So a lot of stuff happening this year.
Well, Sean, that's amazing and really appreciate all that information. Tell our audience out there that may not be familiar, we're on 30 stations across the country, have over 200,000 listeners. Tell us a little bit about your journey and what got you to this place. This is just an amazing story.
People always ask, like, how did you get from, like, Pine Ridge, South Dakota to here? And I just say, I had a car. But anyways, it was a long journey because I grew up on Pine Ridge. My mom moved to the Black Hills in South Dakota. I did high school and college there. And then I started working in restaurants during high school time. So I was 13 years old when I started working in restaurants. Moved to Minneapolis, not knowing anything about Minneapolis except for that's where Prince was from, basically. And just kind of jumped into restaurants, made myself a chef eventually, or became a chef eventually at some of the nice restaurants around Minneapolis. And eventually just kind of had the epiphany to do what I'm doing today by just realizing there were no Native food options out there. And there was nothing representing us as Indigenous peoples and our own food ways. And there wasn't even a lot of information on that. So I kind of had to dig deep and just kind of figure out, like, you know, what was my philosophy around showcasing Indigenous foods, which is kind of what we still use today with removing colonial ingredients, and also no dairy, no flour, no sugar, no beef, pork, chicken, just focusing on utilizing foods from Indigenous producers, a lot of wild foods, a lot of heirloom varieties of agricultural pieces like corns, beans, and squash, and just having fun with it because we're trying to, like, what does our food look like for the future, you know? So I feel like we're not traditional foods, we're futurist foods, you know, when it comes to Indigenous ways. And so we're just having a lot of fun with that. Awamni's been very successful. You know, the first cookbook's been out for many years now, and it's been very successful also. And, you know, this work's brought a lot of attention, a lot of awards. We've got 3 James Beard Awards, Julia Child Award, Time Magazine Most Influential Person in the World Award, and all of that. But this work was never about me. We just kind of utilized that to kind of keep us growing because, you know, we're sitting on probably close to 160-ish employees in our organizations right now. Even the restaurant Awamni is a part of the nonprofit, and the nonprofit's called Natives or North American Traditional Indigenous Food Systems. And that's the vehicle that we're utilizing to do all this work of just trying to create access to foods and trying to preserve and steward a lot of Indigenous education through videos. And if you go to our YouTube channel and find it under Indigenous Food Lab, we have over 200 videos up there already.
That's amazing. And also too, SeanSherman.com, you can find out a lot of this information and also pre-order the cookbook. And again, what a great story, and you're world renowned, and it's really cool that you buzzed through all the things that I was going to talk about. So I guess what I want to talk about is like, how was the situation with finding your roots? That's like one of my favorite shows. And how did you get on? And it was amazing.
That was a lot of fun. I mean, Dr. Gates is a really super cool dude and just a cool personality, you know. And I didn't know anything about the show because I don't really watch TV that much. So when I just got an email and I just happened to catch it because it could have went to spam. I had no idea. And I was like, oh, I just got this weird ass to be on a PBS show where they want to like take my DNA and stuff. It seems like really invasive. But yeah. My partner Mecca is like, you have to be on that show. That's an amazing show. It's one of my favorite shows ever. I was like, all right. So we ended up just like, you know, talking to them and getting through. But you know, they had to like talk to my family, talk to my parents, talk to, you know, some people had done a lot of like genealogy work already in the family and just kind of trace some of that stuff. And you know, it was quite the ordeal, you know. Now on the TV show they have like three family members that they talk about, but we spent a whole day with Dr. Gates and we went through kind of like my whole family, like my mom's side, my dad's side, and everybody, but they only pick a few for the TV show itself, you know.
Well, that's interesting because, yeah, there is a lot there. Were there any surprises with your family tree?
I knew a lot about my mom's side of the family, and I knew about some of her lineage coming from Minnesota with the Dakota families and stuff like that. And I knew about some of her, obviously, Lakota, because I'm Oglala, Lakota. And I knew on my dad's side, too, that I knew some of it, but there were some pieces I didn't know. And I didn't know too much about my great-great-grandfather, who was Black and was born a slave in Georgia and becomes a Buffalo soldier and then ends up getting sent out west to like basically fight Native people, but then gets an arrow in the neck and then ends up marrying a Cheyenne River woman and lives his whole life on Cheyenne River. And so I didn't know about that story. That was pretty interesting.
That's totally interesting. We only got a couple more minutes, and I know your schedule's really tight, so I really appreciate this. But let's go over again really quick where Ouamni is and how we can get there, and then the exciting news that you just brought up.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.